Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Yeah, when I prayed about what to do today, what to say today, I'm very aware that a lot of people find this day very difficult for lots of different reasons. So it's going to go on to us as a church and how we mother and love each other, because that's what's really was on my heart. But anyway, Mothering Sunday, I looked it up, of course, Google. Thank you, Google. And I found this was ended up quite funny on Portsmouth Cathedral website. And they said the roots of Mother Day originated in the 16th century, which a lot of you will know, as a tradition of visiting your mother church, which is the church where you were baptized, on the fourth Sunday of Lent. And then it evolved into a family day honoring mothers. In the past, children left home to go to work really young, which is really sad, isn't it? And this was one of the only times they could get together and come and see their mums and their families. So the act of visiting the mother church where you were baptized later become known as going and mothering, and then Mothering Sunday. They had this information, and then they said Mother's Day became more commercial in the 20th century. And at the end it says, you'll find a great selection of thoughtful gifts, including jewellery, books and more in the cathedral shop, open every day and online. I thought that was hilarious. But there you go, it has become a bit commercial. In Ethiopia, something I read I liked, mothers celebrate during something I won't pronounce right, called Antrost. Is that correct? Amazing. And it's a 3-day festival held at the end of the rainy season, early autumn, as the weather clears. And families all get together and have a large meal of vegetables, cheese and meat. And they celebrate by singing and dancing together. Isn't that lovely? So I like the idea. And for many mothers around the world, this was a time to comfort mothers who had lost their sons in World War II. And traditionally, carnations were given as a gift. So, this is why we celebrate Mother's Day. And then on the screen, Julia, can I have that first little bit? The church is a community. I liked this, because this is true. Yeah, in fact, that's fine. So it's just the first bit. The church is a community of believers who are united in faith and are fostering a sense of belonging and supporting, mirroring, the body of the family and motherhood. So, we as a church mother each other just like a family does. And what would God want us to use today as and think about? So we're the church, and each one of us makes up the church. It's not the building or the leadership or the traditions. We the people are the church. And what instructions does God give us as a church? It seems like a lot, but my writing's big. I've got here. So we know that he wants us to read his word and to pray and to love one another and care for one another. And that, of course, is the key thing, isn't it? To love each other. But, you know, I was thinking us being together this morning and worshipping together and just meeting together and choosing to be part of this church is loving each other, isn't it? And showing care and love for each other, because we choose to be here to worship God, but we choose this group of people. So then I was looking up the different ways that God would want us to love each other and how he would want us to be together. And the first one was number one. No, number two. Following Christ's example. So I don't know if somebody wants to look up that verse to read in a minute, John 13:34. No pressure, because I have got it wrote down as well. But Jesus commanded his followers to love one another as he loved them, which is a selfless and sacrificial love. So it sounds easy, doesn't it? But to love each other as he loved us. Anybody want to read it, or shall I read it? Penny's got it.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Thank you, Penny. So next, so first of all, God wants us to love one another. And then, by following his example, he wants us to be united. He wants unity. So church love is creating a strong, unified community where members support and encourage and care for one another. Anybody want to read Ephesians 4, verse 3?
Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Okay, thank you. That was Ephesians. And also, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love. So God wants us to do that as well, to be unity, to be together. Compassion and forgiveness. Anyone want to read 1 Peter 3:8? Or I can read it if not. So finally, even when faced with difficult situations, showing understanding, compassion and forgiveness to each other. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another and be compassionate and humble. So again, it's not easy, is it? We know God wants us to do it, but it's not always easy. It's in difficult situations, being there for each other. And then the next one, serving one another. And that's love is expressed through acts of service, helping others in need. And that's Galatians 5:13-14. Anybody want to read that?
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbour as yourself.
Thank you, Julia. So again, serving each other. And I feel like, you know, God is saying to us then, but you know, it's so easy to become kind of so self-indulged, me included, all of us, I think, to kind of think about ourselves and our own needs. And, you know, that's hard to do, not to do sometimes, but to kind of remember other people and their needs as well. And we all serve each other in so many different ways. You know, Ben Gibbons, when he does the tea and the coffee, Julia and Bernard and Chris and Ben and Andrew, there's so many different ways of us serving each other. And even a kind word or a prayer for each other, not even, especially, is really massive. And so we all do that, and I think we do that quite well as a church. So, praying for each other. Praying for the needs and well-being of each other is a powerful way to demonstrate love and unity. And these kind of all kind of interlock, don't they? They all kind of cross over a little bit. But yeah, the praying is powerful, isn't it? And it's such a special kind of personal thing to do for somebody, to actually, you know, care about their needs enough to ask if you can pray for them, or just to pray for them without them even realizing you're praying for them. Quite often see somebody and I think they look a bit downhearted even walking along, and just pray for them. And this is, I feel this is really like God wants us to do that. He wants us to connect with him and with other people, to kind of, that's how we connect other people to him, through our love for him and our understanding of him and our kind of his spirit in us prompting us to pray and when to pray and how to pray. So, and it's so powerful. There's so many prayers that I've prayed that I've seen the answer to, and I've got such a bad memory, I wish I'd wrote them all down. So it's something I always mean to do, but I never get around to. And yeah, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way that we are asking him to. And it's kind of, I've got better at not asking him specific things now, saying your will be done in this situation, because quite often it turns out completely different to what we would have prayed and wanted. But it's God's answer to prayer, And there's massive amounts of things in my life that I've prayed for, and God has answered it completely differently to what I would have kind of, I would have wanted it a lot more simple, thank you. I prayed for Sam to have a wife, but I wouldn't have prayed for somebody that lived miles away and that was it was really complicated, but she's perfect for him. And, you know, I wouldn't, there's so many different things. But God knows, doesn't he? God knows. And he, when we pray, and we pray later for you and Melinda Penny, and it's like, it's not always how we would want it, and it's not always in our timing, but his timing's perfect. And I've seen that a lot. We don't understand why we have to wait a long time for things, or whether they work out, why they work out different to what we would have wanted. But sometimes in the end, you see why. And I think a lot of it, when we see him face to face, we'll see why. So yes, praying for each other. And James 5:16, has anybody got that?
Yeah. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous believer can accomplish much when put into power, when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power.
And I think that stood out to me, confessing your sins to each other, because that's a really hard thing to do, isn't it? To actually be really honest with each other. But actually, honest breeds honesty, doesn't it? And if we can open up to people and say, wow, I'm finding this really difficult, or I've done this and I know it's wrong, then that's going to give them the confidence to do the same. And it's not always easy, but the good things are quite often not easy. So yeah, let's at the end, I think we should really pray for each other. Okay, and then the next one, bearing each other's burdens, helping each other through difficulties. You know, like we're doing with Joe and Mike, hopefully at the moment, and Ari, and hopefully with Penny, and you know, the people that are going through so many difficult things. Bearing each other's burdens. So Galatians 6:2, anybody got that one?
Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
So yeah, and it's, when you think of it, what does it mean to carry each other's burdens? How can we do that? It sounds, all these things, they can sound quite simple, can't they? But actually, in reality, that's a really hard thing to do. That means really putting yourself out and really, being there for that person. And that's not always easy. And again, it's not always what you would choose to do. You've got your Sunday planned. You don't. It's quite often hard to walk out of your comfort zone. But it's what God wants us to do. Fulfill the law of Christ. Somebody else arriving? Right, rejoicing, sharing each other's joys as well as each other's sorrows. Good morning. You look beautiful. And it's true, it's a privilege. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. It's a privilege to share each other's joys as well as each other's sorrows, isn't it? And it's kind of, that's what it's like being in a family, isn't it? You have the difficult times and the sorrows, and it's actually, I think sometimes it's a real, more of a privilege to share somebody's sorrows, because for somebody to actually open up to you and confide in you, or for them to be open to you sharing their sorrow, is not an easy thing. And we've all felt it at some time or other. So that's how God wants us to be. And then sharing each other's joys, the joyful times, is amazing. And Romans 12:15, anybody? Sorry, there's more. Well done, Ben.
Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn.
Thank you, Ben. Kind words, speaking words to each other that build up and don't tear down. Thessalonians, thank you. 5:11. Oh, I'll read it. So I mucked that up, didn't I? I did quite well up until that point. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up, just in fact, as you are doing. And I like that. Because we do that, don't we? We are kind to each other and we do build each other up as a church. And that's really lovely. And you can all look that up and make sure I got that right. But I think it's Thessalonians 5, verse 11. And thinking about our words, because I'm very guilty of this. I ramble on and say things and then think about it afterwards. And I've got better as I've got older at thinking about what I say, but I still sometimes don't. And it's easy to kind of hurt people by saying the wrong thing or being insensitive. On the other hand, you kind of have to realize, I think sometimes that's what people are doing, and myself, you have to kind of think, you know, I don't think they meant that. But words are powerful, and I've known a few people in my life who really speak slowly and carefully, and I really love it. I like them because they think about what they're saying as they say it, and it's a gift. But anyway, and that is, I've read that. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up, just in fact, as you are doing. Amen to that. Harmony, striving to live in peace and unity and resolving conflict. Right. And also, talking of words, Proverbs 16, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And I might have put that in the wrong place as well, but anyway, harmony is Romans 12, verse 16, if somebody wants to read that. All right, does someone want to read both of those out and we'll see which one matches?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, good.
How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Amen. Beautiful. So striving to live in peace and unity and resolving conflict. And again, easy said, harder to do, but through prayer and our will, we can achieve these things. Living in harmony is amazing, and that was beautiful, that verse, but it's sometimes hard and sometimes there are conflicts, and prayer can change your heart and your mind towards people. I've experienced that a few times, and God speaks to you. If you're willing to open up and say, God, I'm finding this difficult, finding this conflict difficult, this situation difficult, he can put on your heart the reason, and that's happened to me, the reason why there is conflict. And he can resolve it through his love and his peace. So amen to that. Again, prayer, all connected to prayer. And the last one was seeking God's love first. So understanding and expressing God's love for ourselves. I was thinking, like, we need to understand ourselves and love ourselves before we can show love to others. And that sounds simple, but it's not always simple, because some people find loving themselves really hard. But it's through God's word, understanding his love for you, and then having that love for yourself, because if our God loves us, how can he be wrong? He knows our hearts, he knows us deeply, and he loves us. He loves us despite all our faults, despite all our mistakes and things we stumble up on. He loves us so much. And so we need to understand that, how much he loves us and how lovable we are. And then we can pass it on to others. And it's a foundation for our love for others to first love ourselves and to accept God's love for us and accept that we are forgiven and we are good. And again, it goes back full circle to loving each other and how important it is. Matthew 6:33 is, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And then I don't know if somebody wants to look up, and I'm not going to pronounce this right because I can't do, how do you pronounce that one?
Zephaniah
3:17.
The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing.
Isn't that amazing? Rejoice over you with singing. Amen to that. So, we are like any family in this church. You know, we love each other, we care for each other, we support each other, and we're all different, and we all stumble over different things. And we've all got a different idea of family. And I grew up in a loving, very loving family with lots of aunts and uncles and lots of people around me that told me how lovely I was. And that's really special. But it was also very dysfunctional. And there were, you know, there were arguments, and my mum and dad were very different to my dad's sisters, who were very close aunts and uncles who came around and visited a lot. And, you know, they would swear and do things my mum and dad didn't like. And as they went home, every visit, you'd have to stand in a line and kiss them goodbye, and they would squeeze my cheeks. And I blamed that on my red cheeks. I blamed my red cheeks on that, rather. And say some kind of really inappropriate thing about how much they love you. And then my dad would stand there and say, don't say that in front of the children. So, and then, you know, there was one aunt who, when my brother was a teenager, he wouldn't wash, typical teenager, and she chased him up the stairs and ripped his favourite T-shirt off and pushed him in the bath because she was a tough East End lady, and that was her way of dealing with a teenager who wouldn't wash. And so we had this, and then my aunt, who would come and tell us slightly, it was a lovely, lovely lady, but tell us slightly racist jokes that my dad would then be like, what? And so you kind of had this family. There was lots of love, but there was also, you know, lots of tears as well, and lots of arguments. But at the end of the day, they really loved each other. And it was slightly crazy, but it was really fun as well. And so that's my idea of a family. So that's why I like lots of different people, because I grew up with them. Yes, and I could go on, but you don't want to hear more. So as a church family, you know, we need to accept each other's imperfections, and as well as each other's good points, and love each other anyway, and build each other up, and demonstrate all these things that I did Google, but then I expanded on, because I thought the thing that struck me, and I always end up learning something when I talk, is that you can look up these things and you can think, oh, I like that, I'm going to use that, but nothing is of any worth as if it's not backed up by scripture. And so I found the scripture that backed them all up, and I think it sounds, you know, years ago when I was first a Christian, I would have found that really hard. Like, oh, I can't find that. I don't know what that can, but actually, the Bible is really practical, and it kind of backs up most of life's lessons, and the lessons that God wants to teach us. Actually, a lot of these verses that we read today, that you read, are very plain language, aren't they? And very easy to understand. And that's the way God did it. So that even now, all these years later, we can relate to it and understand it. How amazing is that? And I find the Bible exciting, and I never thought I would say that. But if you really pray that God will get you to find it exciting, you will. So, on this Mothering Sunday, let's remember that we are a mothering church who care and love for each other. And that's why I got some flowers. And I think we should all have flowers, not just the mums, not just the women, but the men as well. Because we all mother and care for each other. And that's how it should be. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for this church. thank you for what you've laid on our hearts. And I pray that you will lay and keep on each person here on their hearts what you want them to remember, what you want them to take away. And I just pray that overall we will realise, Lord, that love is, it's a simple word, love, but it's powerful and it's real and it's alive. And it's what you would want us to feel, Lord, and to remember, love for each other and for you. And thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, and for being here with us this morning. It's mind-blowing, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.